Our psalm is for tonight. Listen to verse 1 while you're turning there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Psalm chapter 103, if you turn there very quickly. I'm going to go through this chapter. Just want to point out a few things in Psalm 103. Some have called this psalm, in Psalm 103, David's Hallelujah Chorus. It's a beautiful, inspiring psalm. It's a psalm of praise and giving honor to God. This psalm was kind of saying, if you want to, I think anybody understands what I'm talking about, in a round. You've probably heard a round before. You start singing it, and then when it gets to the end, you start singing it again, and there's other people singing it at the same time, going through the same song. This song was saying it, and many historical accounts say the psalm was singing that way, but we know this, that the way the psalm begins is the way that it ends, and it just picks up, and it just kind of continues a circular pattern. You say, why is that? Here's why. Here's the bottom line. We always have reason to continually just bless the Lord. Amen. We are such a blessed people. Psalm 103 and Psalm 104, I'm going to split the message up into two, and we'll preach the second one next week. But title both these psalms together, Bless the Lord. And you kind of see that Psalm 104 starts the very same way. Psalm 103 is about the blessed. The person that has been blessed. Psalm 104 is about the blesser. And that's the Lord God. He's the one doing the blessing. Amen? We're the recipients of those blessings. And Psalm 103 is about us. Let's look at this psalm very quickly tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I thank You for the young people, their testimony. Lord, I thank You for the Scripture read tonight and for the song sung. And God, You are a God that truly blesses us bountifully. We have reason to give You the praise and honor. And God, we pray we do that tonight and bless the reading and the preaching of this psalm. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go and look at this real quick with me, if you would, about the blessed. If you're saved tonight, you're part of the blessed. Amen. You've been saved. We have reason to rejoice. All of us, every person enjoys the blessings of God, but no one can rejoice in them like the child of God. We have been blessed beyond measure. And that's what this psalm is about. In verses 1 through 7, I want you to see God's man. God's man being blessed. Say this, I ought to be able to amen it. It's great to be a child of God. Amen. You think about it, and as David was, he was thinking about being a one of God's. And he can't help but praise God, and neither should we be able to help but praise God when we start looking at all His benefits. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this. There really isn't much we can bring God to impress Him. He's got it all, right? There's nothing we can bring God that God will look at and be impressed by what we bring Him. But you know one thing that He desires for every one of us to bring to Him daily? His praise. To give God the praise and the honor, every one of us ought to spend time every day praising God. If you're one of God's men, one of the children of God, you ought to be able to praise His holy name. And hear this psalm, that's what it's about. And David kind of looks at himself and does some evaluating in ways that he, as God's man, can praise Him. In the first three verses, he praises Him in being a penitent man. Look at verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. As a penitent man, he gives God praise. You'll notice there in verse number 3, who forgiveth all thine, it doesn't say mistakes. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say errors. It didn't even use the word sin. He uses a much stronger word here. He forgives all our iniquities. You know what that word iniquities is? That's all the times that we've known to do right. We've known what is right and wrong. And we have of the will chosen to do opposite of what God says. We have decided we know better than God. Or we're going to do what we want no matter what God says. Yet you think of that outright rebellion and that sin of iniquity that has been in every one of our lives. Unfortunately, we'd have to shake our head. Yes, we've been there. We've done that. God's forgiven it. God has forgiven even those times in our life when we thought we were something and could decide what we wanted to do. Every time we've gone to God and said, God, I see the error of my way. I ask You to forgive me. God has forgiven. Amen. It's good news. Maybe you come tonight with some sin in your life and you say, I don't know if God can forgive me. Yeah, He will. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Isn't that great? There's not one sin that God will not forgive if you'll go to God. Go to Him, ask His forgiveness. He will forgive you. That's a great promise. A promise that we've all claimed, haven't we? We're all imperfect people. We've all had to go to God and say, God, would you please forgive me? Paul said it. These are his words, inspired by the Holy Ghost. He said that God has forgiven him, and he is the chiefest of all sinners. Now, words were inspired by God, and obviously Paul knew some things about himself even more than what we do know. He was a wicked man before God saved him. You know what? God forgave him, and God has forgiven our sins. If you leave tonight wondering why I should praise God, if you're saved, you've got reason to praise God because He's forgiving your sin. Even if you are saved, we've been an imperfect people, and at times we commit sins that we regret and know we shouldn't have done. But praise God, every time we've gone to Him and asked His forgiveness, He has forgiven. Amen. That's reason to praise Him. He's a forgiving God. When He comes to Him as a penitent man, when He comes to Him as a patient, and by patient, I don't mean like Job's patient. I mean like a sick patient in a hospital. You see at the end of verse number 3, who healeth all thy diseases. Now we could talk about how God does, He can heal. And there's many in the room who have testimonies of yourself and loved ones who God has touched physically and healed their diseases. He can do that. Amen. But this verse is not talking about it. You see what it says? This is where schooling. Why is school important? Here's a reason, all right? To help you study the Word of God. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who's thy? You say, well, it's everybody. That's a pronoun referring back to the first two verses. Bless the Lord, verse 1, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Who's He talking to? His soul. Your inner man ought to praise God. Now, verse number 3, who healeth all thy diseases. Whose diseases? Your soul's diseases. God forgave that. Say, what kind of disease does my soul have? Well, before you met Christ, you were dead in your trespasses of sin. Sick, unhealthy with the sin of this world. But God, when we got saved, He quickened us, the Bible says. He made us alive. How many times are spiritually we've been sick with sin, yet God has forgiven us. See, how does God forgive the soul? How does God heal the sickness of the soul? Look over real quick, just a couple pages. Psalm 107. Look at this verse real quick in verse number 20. I'll show you how God heals, all right? Psalm 107 and in verse number 20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You know how God heals the soul? Right here is the medicine. The Word of God is what heals the soul. When we're sick with sin, spiritually speaking, right here's the best antibiotic you can have, spiritually speaking, is the Word of God. Amen. It heals. As a patient, He's come to Him and the diseases of sin have been healed. You say, well, what kind of the diseases? Sometimes, you know, every disease, if you have it, there'll be symptoms. So what are the symptoms of these diseases? Guilt, doubt, pride, anger, lust, hate, envy, jealousy. Those are symptoms that there's a spiritual problem. But praise God, He does heal. He comes to Him as a poor man, in verse number 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I think we all can agree with David, before we met Jesus Christ, our life was heading towards destruction. Our life was heading towards problems and heartaches. Folks, look at me. There's a lot of people out there trying to live their life without Jesus Christ. They might have fun for a season, but it always ends. It always sin. You've heard it said, and I know it's a cliche, but it's powerful truth. That sin that you're dealing with and involves yourself in your life, it's going to cost you more than you're willing to pay. It will always take you farther than you thought you'd go. That's the way sin works. Sin is going to demand that out of your life. And some people get ensnared in their sin. The cords of sin, as the book of Proverbs says, being entangled with the affairs of this world, as Paul said it. But you get trapped in your sin. And when we, before Christ, are in our, even in being saved individuals, sometimes we can get involved in sin and it entraps us and we're heading towards destruction. Some of us have been in that boat and you ought to be able to praise Him tonight because God sets you free. Heading towards destruction as a poor man heading towards problems. But He took the poor man, look what He did in verse number 4, and made him a prince. It says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know what that means? I'll make it in a statement. We go from the slums of sin to the palace of the King. Amen. Say, how does that happen? Because you're a good person? No. How does that happen? Because you turned over a new leaf? No. That happens when God gets a hold of your life. When God gets a hold of your life, things start to change. You become a child of His. And with that child, that blessing, there comes a lot of responsibility and a lot of, and you notice what He's crowned with there in verse number 4. Not just kindness. This is the way you'll find this in the Psalms a lot. Not just kindness, but loving kindness. Not just mercy. There, in that passage, but we are crowned there with tender mercies. God blesses us. So being as a poor man, being as a, made him into a prince, from being a patient man, being a patient, being there in the first few verses, a penitent man, but then you come to verse number 5, and this is one of them words that I promise it's a word, a pensioner. That's someone who's living on a pension. Some of you are a pensioner right now. You didn't know what you were, but you are, all right? Pensioner, all right? Not a pinch, all right? A pensioner. Look what he says in verse number 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. David's an older man here. And David looks and he's testifying here. Even in his older age, serving God, it's been a blessing. You know, I said this a few weeks ago, and I'll say it one more time. The devil doesn't have any happy old people. Did you get that? The devil doesn't have any happy old people. I'm not trying to call people old and things. This is just a phrase, but understand what I mean. Someone who gives their life and serves God, there's a joy there. Isn't it amazing, someone who lives their life and gives it to sin, they age quickly, don't they? Their youth is just sapped out of them. But those that will live for God, because the mercies and the blessings of God are new every day, even an older age, you've got strength from the Word of God. It reminds you, remember Caleb and Joshua when they went into the Promised Land? When they looked around, Caleb looked around, he said, he was one of the elders, all right? He had been there, done that, had the t-shirt and all right? He walked in. You know what he did? He didn't sit back in the lawn chair and say, feed me, take care of me, I deserve it. He said, I want that mountain. I choose the place where the giants live. He didn't back down in his older days and even made the comment he feel as he did in the days of his youth. You know what? You serve God, God will meet your needs. And when you get older in years and you've served Him faithfully and you see how He's continually met the needs, you can look back and praise Him like David was and says, even in my older years, God's taking care of me. Praise the Lord. Being a pensioner, living on God's blessings. You have God's man in the first 7 verses. I skipped one, verse 6 and 7. This is just good news to throw in. David put it in here. The possibilities when it comes to blessing. This is. You say, well, what if I'm not saved? You can get saved and start enjoying this right now. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. If you came tonight in sin or you came tonight needing Christ, this is for you too. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts, and to the children of Israel. It's there in the Word of God for all of us. It's yours too, the possibilities. God's mercy, verses 8 to 18. Let's look at this real quick. You have God's man. If you're God's man, you ought to be able to bless God. Praise God. Amen? You start looking at God's mercy to give you a reason to bless God. To give Him praise. You see, He manifests His mercy in verse 8, 9, and 10. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I don't have the time to dwell on these verses tonight, But if you'll just take the time tonight, tomorrow, and the next day to read these verses to yourself again and think about what you're reading, those are powerful verses that every one of us have reason to praise God. See, what's it talking about? How great God is. What's it talking about? Listen to me. God doesn't hold grudges. God forgets when He forgives. That to all those who have repented and called upon the Lord to forgive, we confess our sin, that everybody who's gone that way can answer this in the same testimony: God has forgiven. God forgives and He restores. And He's been there for us. He manifests His mercy. Then in verse 11 and 12, He measures His mercy. These are great verses. Look at them, please. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. You know what He says? As the heavens are high above the earth. In other words, we'll just stake our ground right here, all right? And measure up until we... I don't know if you know anything about science. We're in school night, all right? There's no end. You just keep going, all right? You start measuring up, you're not going to hit a ceiling. You start reaching the heavens and the stars, you know what? You can just keep on traveling, can't you? Amen. Just keeps on going. You know what Thomas is saying? That's how you measure God's mercy. It has no end. Amen. As high as the heavens. That's what His mercy is to us. Isn't that great? You've got to give reason to praise God. As high as the heavens. That's how you measure His mercy. Now I want you to keep this picture in your mind. We're measuring straight up. That's the way His mercy is. Then look at the next verse in verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. I'm glad He didn't say from the north to the south. You know what? If you start down in the very tip of South America and start traveling north, eventually you're going to hit a North Pole and start traveling south. But God didn't compare His mercy to north-south. East-west. If we take off right here where we're standing, we already measured up. We take off that way. And we start traveling east. You know, you can just keep going around this world over and over and over again and never stop traveling east. Isn't that great? Or you can go west. And you just keep traveling over and over and over again, and you'll never reach a point where it starts being east. It's always west. And what the Bible's teaching here is His mercy as far as the east is from the west. You can't measure it. Amen? You can measure the North Pole to the South Pole, but you can't measure east to west. Amen? Isn't that great? Now, I want you to picture something with me. In your mind's eye, what the psalmist, how He's measuring mercy. You all with me?
Yeah.
He's measuring mercy straight up and from east to west. And if you're picturing something with me, you probably just got this picture in front of you. When those lines intersect, when it comes to mercy, it starts at the cross.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Straight up, east to west. That's where mercy starts, and it has no end. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? Can't be measured. We look at the cross and we praise the Lord. He multiplies His mercy in verse 13, 14, 15, 16. Like as the Father pitieth His children, so the Father pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, and the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. He multiplies His mercy. He measured already in the distance and how it cannot be measured. And now He measures it in matters of time. He measures it in matters as a father to children, as he compares man to the grass, and time goes by very quickly in these verses. And I think everyone can agree with this. Time does go by quickly. Now, the student sitting in the classroom from 1:30 to 2:15, it doesn't go by quick. Seems like the clock never moves. I understand that. But the older you get, you're going to realize time goes by extremely quickly. And our time does go by quickly. And in our time here on this earth, He compares His mercy there in verse number 13 as a father pitieth his children. You know what? This is just a great verse. Every father in this room, there's something about you that me and you share. We love our children. But not just love our children, But we want to see our children taken care of. If we have to go without eating at our favorite restaurant so they've got a shirt to wear, we'll do it. At least you should. In today's world, there's that thing of without natural affection, and that's part of it. Unfortunately, it's living in the last days. But a father worth his salt, he's going to take care of his children. He's going to love his children. He's going to protect his children. If my son came to me and there was a need in his life, a real need, and a Lego is not a need, by the way. All right, you know what I mean? All right, a real need. You know, any father in this room right now, your son maybe has come to a point, or your daughter, your children, and they're literally hungry. They've not been able to eat. They're literally starving. You know, just like me, you do whatever it takes to put food in front of them. You do whatever it takes to make sure those basic needs of life are met. If there was a medicine that would heal it, you'd sacrifice whatever it took to get it. You know what that is? That's being a father. If that's how we are humanly speaking, how do you think God takes care of us? In our limited love, you know what God is when He looks at us? As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. What that verse is saying is God's going to take care of His children. You don't have to doubt that. You know, you look on the other side, don't look at his father, look at his child. You know, my Alex and Grace are sitting in the front row. I promise you this, they've not worried about the electric bill this week. I have, but they haven't. They've not worried whether there's going to be food. Don't worry about it. They don't worry about whether there's going to be gas in the car to get somewhere. They just don't worry about it. That's something Daddy takes care of. Isn't it great to be a child of God? We can have faith that God will take care of us. But there's a cause there. Them that fear Him. You can't run around and sin. You can't live a life of your own self and your own lust and decide you want to do what you want to do and expect God to be there every time you need something. Folks, look at me. Said it before. If the prodigal son's father would have been around and paying all his bills behind everywhere he went and cleaned up all his messes, the boy would have never came home. The father had to stay home and just pray. But boy, when the son was right, even after the sin, when he sought to get it right, things were made right. And the father still treated him like a son. Amen. Our God is in the restoration business. Praise the Lord for it. But he compares this. I could spend a lot of time on this. In verse 13, you see our fear that we ought to have. Verse number 14, it talks about our frame. We're just dust. Verse number 15, yet if we fear Him, even in our frame we can flourish. And praise the Lord for that. And there's a finality. Someday we're going to die. Verse number 16, and I'm glad there's a place for us. Then you have, He maintains His mercy in verse 17 and 18. He maintains His mercy, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant and to those that remember His commandments to do them. We are temporal. We are finite. But His mercy is everlasting. Our life will end. Our days will run out. But God's mercy is eternal. And in glory, like Amazing Grace is sung, when we've been there 10,000 years, by shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You ever thought about it when you sang it? After we've been there 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 1,000,000 years, you know what? We still have all of eternity to praise His holy name. You know why? Because we're going to see and experience the mercy and the grace of God. And we'll never run out of words to praise Him. How wonderful God has been to us. Then you have God's mercy in verse 19 to 22. You have God's might. You see the heavenly throne in verse number 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Can I put it in Travis Burke's words? He's the King and will always be the King. That's reason to praise Him. You see, He's sitting there upon the throne. You know, when Lucifer saw the throne, he wanted it. When Isaiah saw the throne, He worshiped Him. When John saw the throne, he wrote about it. When we see the throne, we're going to praise His holy name for all of eternity. The throne of heaven, and then you see the heavenly throng in verse 20 to 22. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments and hearken unto the voice of His word. Verse 21, bless the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Verse 22, bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. For all of eternity, those that excel in strength, verse 20, those that have served Him in verse 21, we're all going to have the same song in verse 22. And that song is this, bless the Lord, O my soul, which takes you right back to verse number 1. This is just a good psalm. A psalm that will be sung for all of eternity. God is worthy of praise. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're having struggle finding a reason to praise His name, read this psalm. He's worthy of praise. If you're saved tonight, you've got reason to praise His name. If you've been forgiven tonight, you've got reason to praise His name. When you look at heaven and the throne and who He is, you've got reason to praise His name. When you look at the mercy He's shown in your life, you've got reason to praise His name. We all have reason to praise His name. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for this psalm. And as David put it, bless the Lord, O my soul. May we give You the praise. May we give You the honor. Father, maybe tonight, we came tonight discouraged. We just need to stop and praise Your name and get our eyes off the circumstances and back on You. Maybe tonight we've come and we are entrapped in the cords of sin. We realize tonight the error of our way. And maybe even the devil's whispered in our ear, it's too late, you can't get out of this. But God, may the truth of Your word be presented tonight that You do forgive. To all those that will fear You and call upon You, You forgive. Your mercy is for all the oppressed. Father, may we as Your people praise Your name. May You encourage our hearts. And then, Father, if there be someone here tonight maybe that does not know You as their Savior, have not put their faith and trust in what Your Son Jesus did for us upon the cross, they truly can't praise Your name because they that worship You must do it in spirit and in truth. And may they tonight see the error of their way and see the love of God and the mercy of God and tonight put their faith and trust in You. Father, whatever the needs are, may we not get our minds off of the fact that we ought to be praising You. If we need to, come to an altar and do whatever business we need to with You. We pray it in Your Son's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight. The piano's going to play through a verse.